Christian Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Come Sit With Me, How to Delight in Differences, Love Through Disagreements, and Live with Discomfort, by Encourage, and edited by Becky Keefe. Narrated by Rosemary Benson, Lisa Renee Pitts, Kathleen Lee, and Siri Scott. Introduction. If you're tempted to give up on people, read this. I can't believe she said, did, believes that. The pain is too much. The divide between us is too wide. We'll never see eye to eye. They don't understand me. I'm tired of arguing. We have nothing in common. I haven't walked in their shoes, and they haven't walked in mine. They aren't willing to try. This is too hard. I don't know what to say or where to start. I'm not equipped to build that friendship. It's impossible to repair this relationship. I'm too hurt to move forward. Have you ever had thoughts like one or all of these? Maybe you've even said something like this out loud. If so, you're not alone. Being human is hard. Being in relationships with other humans is even harder. And it just seems to be getting more complicated every day. Sometimes the unspoken tensions between us make it difficult to breathe. The tiny fractures, silent assumptions, fresh wounds or decades of scars. A widening divide between sisters and brothers, husbands and wives, neighbors, co-workers, college roommates, online acquaintances, best of friends and could-be friends. Do you feel it? Do you know how to move through it? We each come to the kitchen table, the bus stop, the office coffee pot, or the church potluck with our own gifts and our own junk. We carry the weight of past hurts, strong opinions, and well-founded fears. We also carry with us our unique and delightful differences. We show up to boardrooms and living rooms with our distinct languages and cultures, personality types and perspectives, experiences and convictions. Both the beautiful and the broken parts of our stories can make connecting with others challenging, or sometimes infuriating, disheartening, or just plain impossible. Have you felt this way? When it comes to difficult people, have you wanted to throw in the towel or build an impenetrable wall around your heart? Have you tried to avoid eye contact in Costco when you see that friend who is forever wanting to debate hot-button issues? Or have you sent a phone call straight to voicemail because the risk of being manipulated or misunderstood again is just too much? Have you longed to be seen and accepted for who you are, but others just seem to want you to be someone you're not? If your answer to any of these questions is yes, you're in the right place, friend. Your sisters at Encourage know what it's like to feel frustrated in friendships, to feel fed up with the complexity of relationships in today's culture. We know what it's like to lose confidence in humanity while still clinging to a wisp of hope in the God who holds us all. We know what it's like to get it all wrong, to face our own failings, and to see Jesus meet us in our mess anyway. Now, more than ever, relationships feel anything but straightforward. What if taking the next step in your messy or complex relationship looked like just taking a seat? For years, the writers of Encourage have been sitting down together, virtually and in person, to wrestle through what it looks like to delight in our differences rather than ignore or abhor them. We've done the hard work of loving one another through disagreements and learning to live in the discomfort that naturally comes with being a bunch of beautifully imperfect, wildly distinct women. We are not flawless experts, but battle-worn survivors who have seen the goodness of God in seemingly insurmountable situations. We're here to tell you about our heartaches and mistakes and hope in the one true God who hasn't given up on us. In the chapters ahead, you'll find stories, ideas, and invitations. Rather than prescribing a formula for changing people or situations, Come Sit With Me offers 26 hope-filled guides to loving well in all circumstances. Together, we'll ask, when relationships are complex, how do we learn to delight in our differences? When we disagree on issues or hold different positions, how do we still honor and value individuals? When hard truths and nuanced conversations are difficult to navigate, how do we connect before we correct? When people disappoint us, how do we keep trusting that God is working in every situation? When forgiveness feels impossible, how do we move forward? And ultimately, how do we live and love like Jesus, serving others, being slow to speak and quick to listen, extending humble generosity and authentic hospitality, and just sitting together? The writers of Encourage tackle these tough questions by going first with our own hard-fought, grace-filled learning moments. From politics to religious differences, from dealing with toxic people to dealing with our own unforgiveness and desire for revenge, we reveal the struggles no one wants to really talk about, and how we can actually grow closer to God and others through the circumstances we'd rather run from. Whether you are in the middle of a conflict with no resolution, feel the ache of changing relationships, or wonder how to enter into a friend's pain, our stories will help you take a deep breath, show you you're not alone in the stress and mess, and serve as a gentle guide to letting God work through your disagreements, differences, and discomfort in ways you might never expect. We know that no two stories are the same, so our prayer is that through these words, you will find the comfort of seeing glimpses of yourself in someone else's experience, and also learn from experiences unlike your own. Each chapter ends with questions to sit with, 3 to ask yourself, and 3 to ask God. Consider grabbing a notebook and choosing one, or all of them, to journal through after each chapter. The quiet work of hope and transformation is possible when we're willing to sit with God and invite the Holy Spirit to move in us. It is possible to grow in love when we're willing to sit together. The Apostle Paul gave this sound advice about what it looks like to love well. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy, and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 16, New Living Translation. What would it look like to live this out? How would our hearts change if we set aside arguing in comment threads and sat next to one another instead? How might our world change if we would all agree to be people who both celebrate and weep with our friends, co-workers, and neighbors before ever trying to convince, correct, or lobby our agendas? Loving others isn't easy. Jesus never said it would be, but he did call us to do it, and therefore we know it will be worth it. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, New Living Translation. And perhaps this love begins by just acknowledging the tension we feel and sitting in that tension together. Come and sit with us. Take this journey with friends. Come Sit With Me is the perfect book to go through as a small group or book club. Use the questions at the end of each chapter to reflect on your own stories and share how God is working in your lives. You can also take advantage of questions to ask when you're sitting together at the end of the book. Choose a question or two each week to help break the ice with new friends or to go deeper with an established community of people. 1. Table of One, Jennifer Dukes Lee. Come, sit with me. Let's talk. I'm in the booth to your left, the one tucked up against the corner of the restaurant. There are a bunch of local folks sitting on bar stools, and their heads all swivel toward the door when you walk in. You're new here. I saved a seat for you across the table from me. The seat is made of vinyl, and it makes a squeaking sound when you slide across it. A single napkin is sticking out of a plastic container, and when you pull the first one out, another pops up, just like a box of tissues. A sign on the wall says, "Buy one hamburger for the price of two and receive a second hamburger for free." That makes me smile. It smells like fries and bacon, and the waitress brings two glasses of water in tall mason jars. I picked this table for a reason. I've sat here many times with my husband when it seemed like we were worlds apart on the issues of the day. Suffice it to say, he and I haven't exactly seen eye to eye when we vote. But this is the table where my husband and I sit after every political election to have dinner and conversation together. For as long as I can remember, we've done this after leaving the polling place just up the street from here. The polling place. It's where the roads of our marriage have diverged when our ink pens hover over tiny ovals on secret ballots. Election after election, we walk into the polling place, cast our ballots, and walk out side by side. In time, the awkwardness of this marital divide has softened, even when our differences haven't. We often joke on our way back to the car, "Did our votes cancel each other out again?" Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But always we have come here to this table. Long ago we made the decision to break bread together in the form of a shared plate of buffalo wings. We talk, we listen, and yes, we even disagree. This has never been easy. There have been tears at this table. Mine. There has been defensiveness and eye-rolling, again, mine. There have been uncomfortable conversations that we carry back through the front door into our home. But believe it or not, we have learned from each other at this table and have found common ground from time to time. Whenever I think about this table, it gives me hope. And that's why I invited you here, to talk and to hope. Come sit with me and learn together. Maybe you don't want to sit with me, Maybe you're wondering who I voted for all those times when my husband and I drove to the polling place. And maybe you're not so sure you want to be seen with someone like me. Then again, maybe you do want to sit here. Maybe you've been feeling like no one has room at the table for you anymore because of the way you feel about politics, parenting, climate change, alcoholic beverages, policing, critical race theory, religion, science, divorce, international adoption, vaccines, or public education. The list is unending. Chances are, you are living in the tension of being misunderstood. And maybe these days you feel rejected or abandoned. Without warning, you lost a treasured friendship that fractured over a difference of opinion. You just found out your next-door neighbor unfriended you last week. If there's a way forward, the path feels hidden. My grandfather said there were two things you should never talk about at the dining room table: religion and politics. And then came 2020. All of a sudden, that's all anybody wanted to talk about: religion and politics, along with masks and vaccines and social distancing and police practices and racial relations. And everywhere we looked, everyone was arguing. For many of us, 2020 was the year our differences came into sharp relief. It got heated at the table, didn't it? Chairs screeched back on the hardwood floor. Voices pitched higher. People blocked, unfriended, and canceled their way into their own little echo chambers. We looked for churches and neighborhoods where everyone else thought and voted and behaved just like us, because that felt safer. But ignoring our differences doesn't actually make anything safer. It just makes us more insulated and divided. And let's be honest, few places felt safe. Even the family Thanksgiving table suddenly turned into a battlefield. You realized that you didn't even see eye to eye with people you love dearly. Yet you didn't have the option of unfriending your spouse, best friend, sister-in-law, or children. These are your people, and you just want to figure out how to live in peace with them. But is it possible? Can we actually live in peace with someone we greatly disagree with? Can we find common ground when tiny fractures have already widened into canyons? God must have known that we would need help navigating seasons of discord and divisiveness. The Old Testament is filled with stories of war, conflict, and conquest, and in the New Testament we read of heated debates over Jesus' teachings. But the Bible is not a story where disagreement has the final say. The Bible is a story where Jesus extends us all an irresistible invitation. Come, sit with me at the table. It wasn't an invitation for only those who wore the right clothes or checked the right ballot boxes or lived a righteous life. It was, and is, an invitation for us all. Before his death, Jesus extended that kind of invitation at a Passover meal. His friends showed up, and they all reclined at the table. Among them was the betrayer, Judas Iscariot. Jesus' invitation for Judas to sit at the table is an astounding expression of friendship and love. In John chapter 13, there's this heart-stopping moment at the supper table when Jesus tells his disciples that one of them will betray him. The disciples stare at one another, at a loss over what Jesus could mean. John finally asks, "Lord, who is it?" Verse 25. Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Verse 26. This action of dipping bread and giving it to a person at the table was a common cultural practice. But don't miss this. It was a way to single out the honored guest at the table, similar to someone standing up to give a toast at a wedding reception. It was a mark of esteem, as if Jesus was saying to his betrayer, "I love you, I honor you, I raise a toast to you." I have to ask myself, would I be okay inviting someone to dinner who is part of a plot to kill me? Would I be able to share a table with someone who rabidly dislikes me? Would I raise a toast to a person who I personally find offensive and disagreeable? Would I consider my enemy an honored guest? I want to find myself answering yes to those questions, but if I'm being honest, I haven't always been able to do that. It's tempting for me to say, well, it was easier for Jesus. He was fully human, but he was also fully God, and with God's perfect love coursing through his whole being, Jesus was able to do something that I simply cannot do. Or, shall I say, will not do. Yet, God doesn't give us a pass when it comes to loving our adversaries. Jesus says it plainly, "Love your enemies." Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. And I don't think this love is an "I'll love you at a distance" kind of love. Rather, it's an up-close and personal "welcome to my table" love. The Greek word translated here as love is agape, which is the highest form of love. Unconditional love. I have to ask myself what it looks like to love my enemy with the highest form of love, with genuine delight, goodwill, and charity. Check out Paul's instructions to the Colossians. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other, and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Nowhere does he say to walk away from those we disagree with. Nowhere does he say to avoid people or retreat into echo chambers where we can hear only reverberations of our own viewpoint and opinions. He doesn't say to block or unfriend, to cancel or discount another person. Instead, he calls us to forgive one another, to choose compassion, have patience, and bear with each other. In the original Greek, that little phrase doesn't simply mean to put up with or to tolerate. It means to endure, to have patience with, and get this, to suffer. Bearing with one another can feel like suffering, can't it? Yet this is the way of Christ. We are called to sit close enough to people that they could reach over and hurt us. That's exactly what Jesus did. He kept his betrayer close enough to hand him a piece of bread. As we sit here, you and I, at this table, I am wondering if this is how we begin. Right here, together. And then, what if we could step across party lines, religious lines, personality lines, and invite more people to join us? I can't stop thinking about how little time each of us has on earth to fulfill God's call for unity, a call issued many centuries ago. Before he goes to the cross, Jesus spends some of his last precious moments on earth praying for his disciples and for future believers, us. Twice in John chapter 17, he prays for unity among us. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Verse 11. He repeats the prayer in verses 20 to 21. I pray that all of them may be one. The early church decided unity was a worthy calling. Fast forward to the book of Acts, where we're told, all the believers were one in heart and mind. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. We know they did not agree on every issue that arose. They were humans just like us, after all. But they understood what unified them. Jesus. Jesus broke down every barrier for Jew and Gentile alike. A radical change in ideology that took time for everyone to embrace, but the early church eventually got there. Now, it's our time. Here's what we risk if we don't find a way forward. We will each end up sitting at a table of one. If we have to agree with every single person in our church on every single issue, we will be sitting in a church of one. If we have to agree with our neighbor on every single issue, we will live in a neighborhood of one, a book club of one, a Bible study of one, a living room of one, a family of one. We're all going to sit alone at Thanksgiving and Christmas and even the communion table where Jesus beckons us to take and eat. A table of one. I know how uncomfortable it is. Every election cycle, every news story, and every political event has the potential to set off fireworks in my own home. And not the pretty kind, but the explosive, cover your ears and run for cover kind. But my husband and I have finally come to a place where our divisions no longer shock us. In the same way, our global divisions should not shock us. Scott and I got married knowing full well that we didn't always agree. But we got married anyway. Here's why. Because we loved us more than we hated what was different. That conviction is what keeps us coming to this table 25 years later. Maybe that's a starting place for each of us today. We can love us more than we hate what is different. I understand how hard this is, but silence isn't working, and neither is shouting on Facebook. I know of friends who haven't talked in more than a year because of divisions over recent events. These friends used to sit at the same table, vacation together, worship together. As days turn to months, turn to years, that gap will continue to widen unless it's dealt with. Maybe we could try this instead. Instead of unfriending that college roommate with her unending rants on social media, use the Facebook like button to let her know you love the photo of her kid holding up his new driver's license. Instead of arguing with your dad over how he voted, listen as he tells you what he's been thinking. We can listen without agreeing and still enjoy the Thanksgiving turkey. This doesn't mean that the hot-button issues aren't important. They are. But if our divisions create an all-or-nothing mentality, then we're all missing out. So instead of focusing on everything that divides, let's find points of connection. We might not agree with the way our next-door neighbors parent their children, but when we get to know them, we might realize that we both share a fondness for historical fiction and sushi. I understand that sushi won't save the world, and I know that this vinyl booth tucked into the corner of a small-town restaurant won't right all the wrongs. But like the old song says, let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. And with you, right here. At our table of two. questions to sit with. Ask yourself. 1. How has the call to bear with each other felt like suffering? 2. Is it possible for a human being to love?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?